for being here today. I'm Nicholas Knight. I live in Annapolis, Maryland, and I am a proud dad to three amazing kids, ages 4, 6, and 10. I am also the very proud husband of 23 years to an amazing, hardworking, and beautiful woman, Daniela, a proud member of Moms Rising. It is because of our struggles to properly care for our three children without access to quality and affordable childcare and the immense sacrifices that she's had to make as a working mother that I am here today. When our oldest daughter was born, my wife gave up her job to care for her as we quickly realized that full-time childcare was beyond our reach. Both daycare centers and in-home daycares would have cost more than her salary. In an effort to earn a living while caring for our daughter, my wife even worked at an in-home daycare for a while, but was saddened that the program didn't provide all the early learning opportunities we had hoped children could have. I worked as a government contractor, providing legal technology services, but we barely hung on financially, as my wife cared for and nursed our daughter while completing her degree. So I worked as a soccer referee on evenings and weekends to supplement our income. Our daughter grew and flourished, and my wife found a job that she could do from home. But even then, all we were able to afford was part-time preschool. Spots were very hard to come by, and we needed to apply for tuition assistance, which made it even more complicated. Since our daughter was only in school for a couple hours a day, my wife ended up having to complete a majority of her work after our daughter went to sleep at night. She continued to work part-time throughout our two subsequent pregnancies, having only a couple of weeks of maternity leave to recover from childbirth and get our newborns off to a good start. Shortly before our youngest son was born, my work arrangements changed, and I was able to do my job from home. I worked early mornings and evenings and was able to become a more involved caregiver to my three children for the last 4 years. I saw firsthand the incredible work and sacrifice that my wife put in every single day and the hidden labor, sadly unpaid, that she and so many women and mothers have done for so long. We went through the same childcare struggle with our second child securing a preschool spot and obtaining financial aid. We were also thankful that our eldest was starting kindergarten, as we knew we would not be able to afford preschool tuition for two children at once. As our youngest grew, I supported my wife going back to an office setting, and while I cared for the children for the better part of the day, she breathed new life into a sleepy little property management business. She also earned her real estate license and worked a third job to help us save up to buy a home. It was incredibly tiring, but I felt like we were finally moving forward financially. Unfortunately, this was short-lived, and with the pandemic, she, like so many women, sacrificed again, letting go of her work in order to be there to support our children's well-being during such a difficult time. The Biden administration, with the diligent input from Vice President Kamala Harris and Secretary Janet Yellen, are pushing Congress to act to ensure that early childhood education can be accessible to all families. Daycare was never an option for us due to the dual issues of high cost and the inability to ensure the ones we could afford were of high quality and safe. We knew the importance of early childhood education and preschool, and we did all we could to ensure our children were able to receive it. The President and Vice President want all Americans to know that they can have affordable and high quality childcare, and that all children will have the same opportunity to learn in a safe and stable environment. In fact, Vice President Harris has consistently worked throughout her career as a district attorney, attorney general, and senator for working class families, pushing childcare to be accessible and affordable for all families. It is my honor to introduce the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. Thank you, Nicholas, for sharing your story, and as you and I discussed backstage, for your courage and for the leadership that you and your wife and your whole family have been providing. The work that you have been doing reminds us that the work that we have in front of us is important work. It is noble work. It is about supporting working families in America. And this work will make a difference in the lives of all of those working families. So it is wonderful to be here at the Treasury Department, and I want to thank you always, Secretary Janet Yellen, and the extraordinary team you have assembled for welcoming me here today. In this historic moment, The work each of you do at Treasury could not be more important. You have been working around the clock on everything from regulating global financial markets to implementing the American Rescue Plan. Your work is transforming the lives of everyday Americans and strengthening our entire nation. So first of all, I want to thank you, the hardworking, talented team, staff here at the Treasury Department. Not long after President Joe Biden and I took office, I called the mass exodus of women from the workforce a national emergency. Because that's what it is, a national emergency. The pandemic has hit women workers extremely hard and disproportionately. More layoffs in industries in which women are likely to work. More closures of small businesses, which women owned. And without childcare, working parents were totally stranded. Working mothers took on more and more of the responsibility at home, as Nicholas has described in his personal experience. In fact, childcare issues were cited as the reason many working mothers had to quit their jobs during the pandemic. From day one, as Secretary Yellen can attest, our administration has been hard at work to get women back to work. And I believe this is a fight for our future, because when we are talking about fighting for working families, working women, we are fighting for the children of America. And by extension, we are fighting for the future of our country. When women are able to fully participate in our workforce, our families, our communities, and our country is stronger. Consider, for example, the impact on our broader economy. Some estimates suggest that our GDP would be 5 points higher if women participated in the workforce at the same rate as men. If we intend to fully recover from the pandemic, if we intend to fully compete on a global scale, we must ensure the full participation of women in the workforce. And even more than the dollar and cents of it all, this, I would suggest, is about what kind of nation we are. A nation that is stronger when everyone can participate, and weaker when anyone is left out. Fundamentally, I believe this is about our responsibility as a government to ensure everyone, women and men alike, has the power to determine their own future. This is about giving people options to live a life of dignity. And that includes affordable and accessible options to send their children to high-quality childcare. Today, the Treasury Department, and the occasion for our gathering, has released a report titled "The Economics of Childcare." For so many working people, and for women in particular, childcare is a prerequisite for being able to work. Childcare is what makes it possible for millions of Americans to work. And yet, this report confirms what millions of American families know and experience every day. Childcare remains too expensive and out of reach for far too many working families in our country. This report confirms we need to bring costs down with a significant public investment in our childcare industry. And this report confirms that tragically, the United States is falling behind on a global scale on this issue of investment in childcare. In fact, we invest fewer public dollars in early childhood education than almost all other developed countries. We must do better. And President Joe Biden and I are determined to do just that with all of you. At this very moment, Congress is considering our Build Back Better agenda. Supporting and strengthening working families is one of our highest priorities. Once it passes, our agenda will extend the child tax credit. It will expand paid family leave, and it will lower child care costs for every working family. Our agenda could save the average family nearly $15,000 a year in child care costs, about $1,200 every month. Our agenda will also make universal pre-care, universal preschool, a universal reality. Every 3- and 4-year-old will have access to high-quality preschool. By expanding child care options and lowering child care costs, we will give working people everywhere the support they need to dream, to do, and to determine their own future. And I know this from my own life. I learned this at a very young age, based on what I witnessed. You see, my mother was a scientist. She was a breast cancer researcher. And she had two goals in her life: to raise her two daughters and end breast cancer. And every weekday and on many weekends, my mother went to work long hours in the lab. And when she did, my sister and I would walk 2 doors down, just a couple of feet, to the home of Mrs. Regina Shelton. Mrs. Shelton ran a child care center, and she became a second mother to my sister and me. My mother often said that but for Mrs. Shelton, she would not have been able to do the work that she did. She would not have been able to make the contributions that she made in the fight to end breast cancer. She would not have been able to fulfill her ambitions for herself and her two daughters. All working mothers and working parents deserve the kind of support that my mother found in Mrs. Shelton. Through Build Back Better, that is exactly the kind of support our administration intends to provide. And with that, I will turn it over to our great Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Vice President. Thank you for coming across the street. And much more importantly, thank you for your kind words about our Treasury team and your leadership on this issue. Let me also say, Nick, thank you for sharing your story. Economic policy making is a data-driven exercise, but in issues like childcare, we also need to see the humanity beneath the data, and that's what you've given us today. Well, we didn't plan this, but today is a very appropriate day for me to participate in this event, because it turns out 40 years ago, on this exact morning, September 15th, 1981, I was returning to work. My son Robert had been born over the summer, and by the time the school year rolled around, I was ready to resume teaching again at Berkeley. I needed a babysitter, and I started doing some research. What was the going rate for childcare in the Bay Area? I asked friends with kids, and I surveyed childcare providers. And when I came to an answer, I called the classified section of the Daily Californian. People still use those back then. and I purchased a help wanted advertisement offering, quote, good pay, the market rate plus a few dollars more per hour. Job starts on September 15th, I added. Well, why a few dollars more? My husband George was an economist too. He still is. And at the time, we were both interested in the topic of efficiency wages. Classical economics says that it's not rational to pay a worker more than the market rate, but we hypothesized it could be. The job might be an important one, for example, and a higher wage could encourage someone to do better work. That's a completely rational reason to pay someone more, especially if the job is some of the most intimate work there is, which is caring for children. Our hypothesis proved correct, at least in our own home. The advertisement led us to a babysitter who took wonderful care of Robert while George and I were at work. But we were fortunate. Our experience with childcare was definitely not the norm at the time, and it is far from the norm today. For the vast majority of Americans, the childcare industry works in precisely the opposite way it worked for us, which is to say, it doesn't work at all. Those who provide childcare aren't paid well, and many who need it can't afford it. In fact, the report the Treasury is releasing today finds that most parents need childcare at the exact moment when they can least afford it, at the beginning of their career when their income is lowest. There's no financing to help them pay. If you walked into a bank and asked for a daycare or a nanny loan, no one would give it to you. Economists call this particular market failure a liquidity constraint. Instead, families have to spend out of pocket, and they have to spend a lot. Our estimate is that to get quality childcare, the average family would have to spend 13% of their income, more than they spend on food. But even this spending isn't enough to ensure an adequate supply of childcare. The United States has a severe childcare shortage. Roughly half of Americans live in childcare deserts, areas where there's only one daycare spot for every three kids. The childcare centers that do exist are often in disrepair, operating on razor-thin margins with workers whose wages keep them at the edge of poverty. About 90% of childcare workers are women, and disproportionately women of color. They make, on average, $27,000 a year, which puts childcare worker in the bottom 2% of occupations. Many rely on social services to make ends meet. The free market works well in many different sectors, but childcare is not one of them. It does not work for the caregivers. It does not work for the parents. It does not work for the kids. And because it does not work for them, it does not work for the country. Childcare is a textbook example of a broken market. And one reason is that when you pay for it, the price doesn't account for all the positive things it confers on society. An enormous body of economic literature finds that kids with access to quality childcare end up in school longer and in higher paying jobs afterward. When we underinvest in childcare, we forego that. We give up a happier, healthier, more prosperous labor force in the future. In fact, we forego one today too. The Vice President is exactly right. The lack of childcare leads so many parents, mostly mothers, to drop out of the workforce. It was true even before the pandemic. One study found that from 2018 to 2019, 2 million parents of young children had to quit a job, not take a job, or greatly change their job because of problems with childcare. Indeed, looking back, I'm not sure whether I would be here in this job today if I didn't have an excellent babysitter 40 years ago. It's past time that we treat childcare as what it is, an element whose contribution to economic growth is as essential as infrastructure or energy. And that's exactly what President Biden and Vice President Harris have done in designing their economic proposals, many of which are now moving through Congress during the reconciliation process. Enacting them is the single most important thing we can do to build a stronger economy over the next several decades. Thank you all for coming today, and if you have a moment, please do take a look at the Economics of Childcare report. I think it's a worthwhile read. Thank you all. Thank you very much.